Porch Talk is also made possible by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.
Welcome to another edition of Porch Talk on WWER. My name is Ted Tate, and today we're in the studios rather than on the porch, partly because he was already here and partly because of COVID. I'm sitting here with Quinn Robertson, our town manager, but we're just going to sit down and get to know him a little bit. Sure. So welcome to the Not the Porch.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, and this inside is great too.
Especially with all the rain we've had
lately.
That's
right.
So, Quinn, I'm sure a lot of people know you. They see you around town, but to everybody, you're the town manager. But hopefully you came here because you wanted to. Tell me a little bit about how you found Colonial Beach or how you ended up in this town.
Well, I mean, it was kind of neat. It might be very similar to a way a lot of folks have found it, but I was in Mississippi living on the Gulf Coast, and I just got finished doing a bunch of Afghan contract jobs. And my wife and I...
contract jobs?
Oh, for the government, going overseas, Afghanistan.
Oh, I see.
That type of thing. So I'd recently gotten out of the Army. I spent a couple of years after I got out of the Army as a contractor. Those are the guys that you see with the beards over, you know, in Afghanistan doing the things, but they're not in uniform. And I came back home because enough is enough. You can only do that for so long. And I was between jobs, and I'm originally from Richmond and North Carolina. I'm like this hybrid between Greensboro, North Carolina, and Richmond. And my folks still live in Richmond, and they're like, hey, if you're between jobs and you're getting ready to make a move, you can do that here, not in Mississippi. You know, we're not getting any younger. And I said, you know what, you're right. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to come back to Virginia. I love Virginia. And let's start that new chapter in life. And the wife got a job for the high school.
Here in Colonial Beach
High School. Yeah, okay. She's the biology teacher
school. Again, how did she find out about Colonial Beach? I mean, it's not the kind of place you look for,
We had a deal. Understand, I was living on the Gulf Coast. We were living in a condo place to where it was a marina. And we both love the water. We're water folk. And she's like, I'll make a deal where I will go and leave the Gulf Coast if we live by the water. And I'm like, well, I couldn't ask for more. That's fair. And so then the search began. And we literally just picked up from Mississippi, came up here, and she applied to multiple jobs. So
Richmond, where your folks were?
We came up from Mississippi.
When you say here.
Yeah, we came up from Mississippi, then came back here to Virginia.
Okay.
And we were kind of camped out at my folks while we looked for jobs. And she found one here in Colonial Beach. And as soon as she came out of that job, she was like, this is it. This is beautiful. Then we had a chance to drive around the town. And Colonial Beach grabs you. It's a magnet. It grabs you. And I knew eventually I would probably go work for the federal government again. D.C. right down the road, I always say all roads lead to Rome, right? In America, our Rome is D.C., and I was like, okay, well, let me start. And I started working at the high school while I was looking for jobs in the Department of Defense arena. So I started working at the high school. I got to coach football, still coach football for the Drifters. Go Drifters. It's going to be a good year. And then realized that at some point I needed to go and do stuff with the Department of Defense, and I did multiple jobs up there. I was
were you at Dahlgren or
no? Actually, DC Pentagon. I did some contractual work
while living here.
Okay. I did some proposal work, federal proposals. I spent some time doing that. That's interesting and a good experience to go through because I use that experience in today's job as a town manager because I wrote proposals. I ended up being a senior business analyst for the Assistant Secretary of the Army for acquisitions, logistics, and technology for the Pentagon up there. So I did some work up there looking at IT infrastructure, systems analyst, so on and so forth. And I have a very neat career in the Army to where I've got to do a lot of things.
Was your job in the Army?
Oh, I had a lot of them. I started out as an intelligence analyst. So my first tour was 2003, right after Operation Anaconda, over in Afghanistan. Then I went over with General Petraeus for the surge in Baghdad. And that was a really neat experience. That was a life-changing event for the better. I was one of the first civil military affairs platoon leaders that was task-orged to a field artillery battalion that owned battle space in Baghdad. What does that mean? That means that I was in charge of about 30 different schools, the Baghdad Hospital, the Baghdad University was in my area. I got to meet a ton of religious leaders. I got to take Newsweek out. I got to take Newsweek and Time out and let them photograph Baghdad as we were going through the surge. And all that civil affairs stuff is very applicable to what we do here with the town. It's infrastructure type things. It's things that you don't think about that make a city or a town work. And those were the things that I was dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And then I went back and did some more intelligence work for the military. And then I got out. Then I became the senior economic advisor, or a senior economic advisor in Afghanistan for International Security Forces Afghanistan. And that was the economy. How do you bring back a desolate economy? How do you bring that back to life? What do you do? What does it take? And then I became a targeting officer over there, too, to where you kind of set, and I built part of their Ministry of Defense. I kind of built their intelligence section. So I got to do a lot of neat stuff. And a lot of it, oddly enough, in a very weird, perverse way, translates to being a town manager, because it's always building something from nothing, or problem solving, understanding what infrastructure means and the effects if you don't take care of it. All of it was applicable, and coming from the federal government, bureaucracy was no surprise to me. I mean, everybody knows D.C. is full of it, so I've been exposed to that, and that's kind of how I came to Colonial Beach. And then when the opportunity opened up for town manager, I had been a part of the planning commission. And I could see that I wanted to help the town. I'm the kind of person, I want to make a difference with what I do. And I could see that I could make a difference in Colonial Beach as a town manager. So I applied for the job. And after 2.5 years, here I am. And I love it.
That's a recurring theme, I have to say, with people I talk to here in town, is the wanting to make a difference, the volunteering and all making it a better place. They're all sort of common themes that I hear from folks who end up coming here. Now, but coming here was more your wife's decision then. She found the town, she found this job.
Yep.
And she kind of turned to you and went, yeah, I wanna live here. Did you come up with her on her, like, when she first went up for an interview?
Yeah, we toured. I sat in the car and she went into the interview and fell in love with it right away. She worked with a lot of schools that were, it's Mississippi, right? So most of
very
the school
poor.
System's very poor, and she worked with a lot of, and she's one that when school's in session, she's off doing her things, and we'll see each other at the games because I'm either coaching and she's doing something.
What age is she teaching?
High school.
Okay.
So here in Colonial Beach, high school is not just 8 through 12. It kind of sucks 7th grade in there too, or if I got it wrong, 9 through 12, it sucks 8th grade in there too. And we've been here for about 6 years, coming up on 7 years. There's a grit that we appreciate in the town. There's this fierce independent streak about Colonial Beach that is so attractive to me. We want the best, and we're going to do it together. And it's like all hands on deck, it's where we pull things together. And that's a spirit that you don't find everywhere. I've lived across the U.S. because I was in the military. I've lived 20 miles away from the Canadian border, 10 miles away from the Mexican border, and everything in between. And I'm here to tell you that there's a specialness about this place that we should all be proud of. And they accepted us with open arms. The community did. And that goes a long way, too. They brought us in and said, hey, guess what? You're a part of the team now. Here's what you're going to do to help us out. And that kind of acceptance, I think, is what just makes Colonial Beach special.
It strikes a chord with me, because the weekend that we closed on our house, we ended up basically having a party on the porch with about 30 people. Without even planning it, people just showed up and went, "Oh, you're the new neighbors,"
yep.
And and then people saw other people, and then the next thing you know, we had 20 or 30 people sitting on our porch, saying hi. It was the most amazing thing.
Yeah, and I don't know if people really, if you're from here, hey guys, it's not like that everywhere.
Yeah,
it's not. This is a unique situation, And that's something that I just white knuckled onto. It's like, this is a great thing to have and be a part of.
So everybody knows you as the town manager, and you're obviously very passionate about your job. You definitely talk about it with some real gusto. But there are other things obviously to life than the job. You mentioned coaching. So what are your either volunteering or pastimes or hobbies that you like to do off the job?
I haven't hit the lottery yet, so I have to have realistic hobbies, right? I enjoy coaching. I enjoy high school sports. I think it's one of the last bastions of to where that team building exercise, that no matter what sport it is that you do, that's something that the teenage mind carries throughout their life. So if you're part of a team base, as we just talked about Colonial Beach being a team, you know, we got assembled from four corners of the U.S. You know, we're all from everywhere. And to be able to gel together as a team, if you learn that skill, it's been very valuable to me throughout my life. Whether I was in the Army dodging bullets or staying away from bombs, I had a team, you know. If I'm working on some D.C. policy, you know, it's never one person. It's a litany of folk out there doing things. I value the team concept. I believe that it's critical in today's world now more than ever. And I think the teenagers in this internet sit-at-home kind of world don't have the exposure you and I had growing up to it. You know, we were out playing, we were out doing things, and society has almost given them a way to kind of avoid it if they want to. And let's face it, when you're a teenager, you avoid what you can. And I see value, and I felt like that's some way of volunteerism I could give back and add value to the next generation.
You mentioned that water was a big draw for you, that you had to move somewhere where there was water. So are you a boater?
Yeah, I do have a boat. Oh gosh, I got a lot of work to do on it.
Don't we all?
Yeah. But that too is a good problem to have. You know, there's something about the idea that I live in this little town and I could walk feasibly, not realistically, but feasibly to my boat. And if I have enough gas money, I can make it, you know, all the way down to the Bahamas. And there's something liberating about that idea that you can just go. Now, time will never permit that. And money won't prevent it. But just the sheer idea behind that, to where it's like, and I'm somewhat of a history buff too. And I just, and there's something very, you know, Virginia's colonial. I mean, this is it. This is where it all began here in America. And at some point there were people 400 years ago or whatever it is coming down this river and saying, you know what, here's where I'm going to stop. And the history that Virginia provides with this water, that's great. You can't ask for better.
Have you done much exploring of the Potomac and the Chesapeake?
I've gotten out there when I've been able to, not as much as I want to. I would like to see all of it very, very soon. Most of my experience has been closer to the James River. I lived in Richmond. So I live down near the plantations, Shirley Berkeley plantations, down East Richmond. Almost, if you can think about it on a map, between Williamsburg and Richmond, that's where I hail from. Very historical down there, too. But it's tidewater, right? So it's not Potomac, but it's still that tidewater feel. Everything's about the oyster. Everything's about the crab and striper fishing. So I'm just very fortunate that I was able to come up here and be a part of this.
So what kind of boat do you have?
Oh, I have a 34-foot Silverton cruiser.
Nice.
Yeah. So you got to put gas in it, right?
Yeah. It's funny because some of my friends, when all this COVID stuff started, and they were like, well, what do you do on the boat? I'm like, hey, you know what? I could survive the zombie apocalypse. Right. I just let the lines go, and I can go just be out in the middle of the water. Zombies don't swim.
Well, let me preface that, too. It's a 1980, so it's almost as old as me. I'll be 46 this year. It's a 40-year-old boat. It needs some TLC, and I'm here to give it to it. But I've got my work cut out for me.
Mine's a 1988 boat.
So I've got my work cut out, but I enjoy it. I really do. There's just something about once you get out there on that water, and you can just, you know, the blood pressure goes about 20 points down. You know, the pulse, you know, is in an acceptable level.
I used to call it my instant vacation.
It is.
You step on board.
That's a great way to put it.
And you're in that mindset.
Yep, that is a great one. I'm going to steal that.
That's fine. That's not copywritten.
Yep, good.
Now, do you fish off the boat? Do you?
I plan to. Recent boat purchaser, right? So
I've had it for
a year or so, and I stay very busy at work, so I don't get to devote a lot of time to it. But yep, that's the end goal. That's the end goal.
Being town manager has got to be tough. I mean,
it is.
I'm guessing it includes a lot of evenings and weekends.
It does, but the thing I enjoy about it the most is I'll go into work in the morning and I've got my coffee there and I'm doing it. Next thing I do is 4 o'clock or it's 2 o'clock and I haven't done lunch. That's how I want my professional career to be. I want to be that engaged.
And not bored.
Not bored. I mean, that not only does it make the clock tick faster, but that also means you're enjoying what you do. And you're probably good at, if you enjoy doing something, you're probably going to be pretty good at it.
Or get good at it.
One of those two things. So I like that experience. I like for it to be, you know, everything's fast moving, coming. Yes, there's weekend time that you spend, a lot of after hour phone calls. But again, the great thing about local government is that you really do make an impact and you can see the impact. So if we're working on a project, it's not this, you know, obscure thought pattern, right? You're going to see the effects of it. You know, if council wants to go this direction, you're going to be able to see that culture shift. You know, local government is exciting. If you take away all the chaff and you get down to what you're really doing, it's like exhilarating because you are making an impact at the lowest level of government where the rubber meets the road and you can see what you do. And that's fascinating.
Okay. And I guess, you know, it's in some ways more gratifying because you can, it's not instant gratification, but you can see something happen right. Pretty quickly.
Yeah, you do. I mean, the federal government, case in point, the projects that I worked on could be a 20-year project. I mean, I know folks that have spent 30-plus years in D.C. working on the same problem set, and that was their whole career was this one problem set. And here in this local government, you have the ability to say, okay, we're working on this. And once we get the boardwalk fixed, then we're going to go do this. And then how much money do we have to work with to do that? And what's realistic, what's not realistic? And you get to be a part of that evolve. So I kind of think of it as like at some point, God willing, if I make it to 100 years old, there's going to be a picture of 2020 out there. And it's going to look ancient. And I can say I've been here from that, and we're here now, and all the changes I had a piece of.
Do you see yourself staying in Colonial Beach for? I mean, as an Army person, you moved a lot.
Oh yeah. In the Army, it's you're voluntold to go every 2 or 3 years somewhere.
So do you feel roots growing?
No, absolutely. Funny you mentioned that. I kind of mapped out my life, and I'm just going to go off the beaten path for a second. For the first 5 years of my life, I lived in a small town, Liberty, North Carolina. And then approximately, nobody hold me to these numbers. I'm really spitballing here.
You're not, yeah. This is not official.
Yeah. So the next 3 or 4 years, I lived in Greensboro, North Carolina, which was 20 years away. Then I made a massive move. And during my teenage years, I lived in Hamburg, Germany. So I was out of the country for 6 years. Not military affiliated. I lived immersed in the German culture. The stepdad worked for the tobacco industry. Affiliate of Philip Morris.
Okay.
They make the machines. The Germans make the machines and make the actual cigarettes.
The rolling machines or whatever.
The actual cigarette itself and the packing, the cigarette packs is actually, if you ever get a chance, go down to Philip Morris. It's incredible what they do. But I lived in Germany for 6 years while I was a teenager, so I really didn't speak English for 6 years.
Wow.
I was in the German school. There was no American school. And then I came back here, and I had to redo 2 years of high school because I had no English or American high school. And then I had to go to community
And no
college.
American history.
Well,
and
no American history. Nothing that you learn from the ACTs. I had none of that. I was like kind of camping out in Germany for 6 years. So very low on the academic scale. I had to very much bring myself up and about to do that. So I had to go to community college, quite frankly, to get my academics up and my English. You know, I had spoken English my whole teenage
Did you forget it?
You become clumsy.
Okay.
You become clumsy. Just imagine the way folks spoke in the 1970s, and then you just go in this time warp thing, and you come back saying whatever the colloquial
groovy dude
kind of thing. So you come back like that. So I'm sure my German now is almost very familiar to that. And then once I finished high school, then Radford University, Virginia School. Short stint as a financial advisor / stockbroker, and then off to the military where you're bouncing around more.
Mm.
I say all that, and I tell that story, because right now, if I hit year 7 in Colonial Beach, mm-hmm. this will be the longest place I've ever stayed in my life.
That's where I was going with this. Okay. Yeah. So you've and you don't see yourself leaving.
I have no wanderlust, if you'll call it that. You know, I don't have that. I think Colonial Beach is great. I think the Northern Neck is great. I think we're sitting on a hidden gem, a diamond in the rough in a lot of cases, and in other cases, a very polished diamond, too. It's got a lot to offer.
You're not the only military man that I've heard say, you know, he moved around a lot, but this is it, or yeah. hopefully this is it, you know.
Yeah, so my biggest problem is I'm Army, and most of the guys around here are Navy, so I take a beating on that end of it. But other than that, I'm just fine. Yeah.
Just trying to think where else you want to go on this. You've covered, you traveled a lot and your experience is quite varied.
Yeah.
Is there anything else about your life you want to bring up that I can't think of to ask you because it's so over everywhere?
Yeah, no, look, I've had a very interesting life, and I've been told on more than one occasion I should write a book, and then maybe one day I will. The only thing that I can tell you is that going through those volatile changes, because some of those things that I told you about were volatile, I do believe that they're character building and they're also experience building. When I lived in Germany, it was during when the Berlin Wall fell.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, so I was there in Germany, living in the population when the Berlin Wall fell.
Did you visit it? Did you?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go to. I mean, but yeah. I mean, I lived where the East German border was only about 20-30 miles away from where I lived. Mm. So I mean, to experience that, we talk about quarantine right now with the COVID. I lived through Mad Cow. I lived through Chernobyl over there.
Oh my goodness!
The Chernobyl cloud actually came over for a month. We couldn't go anywhere. So
did they make you stay in your house?
Yeah, you couldn't go buy fruit at the farmer's market. You kind of had to camp out and eat canned goods.
Wow.
I mean, it was that way. So I joke with everybody around us. It's not my first rodeo because it's not my first rodeo.
Because you're not kidding,
right? Yeah, I'm not kidding. I actually have been through that. In the military, you get quarantined all the time. You're stuck on a base for I don't know how many months. So I probably have a different look than the average person does, but I think that eclectic thing that makes me is kind of like Colonial Beach because we're coming from 52 different flavors here. We've got everything here. You've got people who are DC elite, everything down to fifth generation Colonial Beachers, to some crazy guy like me who comes to Colonial Beach and says, this is where I'm going to put my flag. I mean, I think that's what really makes us a very exciting place to be. It's only going to get better.
Your enthusiasm is awesome, and to have that I love seeing that in everybody here in Colonial Beach, but to have that in the guy who's trying to bring the town forward and manage the town is doubly exciting, right. Obviously, because you want a cheerleader running right. the squad.
Well, disclaimer though, when I'm in these council meetings, I can't be, you know, I have to have a certain I don't even know what do you call that. I have to have a very a very deliberate decorum when we're going through things that are, you know, that are very formal and official and that.
So, no, absolutely. But you're doing it from a place of best intentions and great enthusiasm, which is, you know, wonderful.
Right. And I know it gets council meetings can become monotone. Sometimes you're up there with the mic and it's very procedural. I just know that probably every personality up there, you know, has this side of them that they just can't wait to share with the other folks.
And that's why I wanted to sit down with you on Porch Talk and talk about these things because, you know, as you say, you've probably got your kind of military demeanor on when you're in a meeting or when, you know, you're dealing with town issues, and that's great. But Porch Talk is an opportunity to get to know the person a little bit. Right. So, Quinn Robertson, thank you very much for coming to Porch Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been fun.
All right.